Well, this morning we, as mentioned, are landing this four-week series. And if you haven't been part of it, it's on our webpage and YouTube, and you can go back and listen. But a quick cap, we first spent week one in Romans 12 looking at the motivational gifts that God has given us, those character kind of traits that express themselves. Then we moved on to the ministry gifts, which we said were a gift that Jesus gave back to the church, which were the individuals, people with particular gifts that serve, and the purpose was to build up the body of Christ, to bring them to maturity. Brett White was here last week, and he talked about the importance of the way that grace flows through the gifts that we express, and that we're meant to be good stewards of what God has given us, to serve and express his grace in its various forms, the passage said in 1 Peter. And today we land in another passage of gifts, but one that's probably more discussion has taken place over. That's how simply I'll put it. And those are the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. So let me read and let's explore those gifts. Starting from verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Going backwards. Sorry. Can you go to that next page? Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to promote and elevate Jesus, to point to Jesus. And so Paul's making it abundantly clear that whatever gifts are expressed, and particularly these that he's speaking in regard to the Corinthian church, is he wants to make sure, do they meet that criteria? Do they elevate Jesus? Do they point to Jesus? No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, in and around this chapter, we need to take note, and I would encourage you, if you want to do a bit of exploration, reading 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 is a really good place to begin to understand these particular gifts and how they're expressed. Following the verses in chapter 12, Paul explains the unity and diversity of the body of Christ. He uses a body picture. And it's a really important picture for us to understand. Why? Because we all are part of that body. We've been saying this from the beginning of this series. We all need to be active. If we're just one arm doing our thing, then we don't move anywhere, do we? We need legs. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it. So if you think you can be a spectator in the body of Christ, that's not the intentions that God has called us to. We are to play our part. And part of, I guess, doing this afternoon's over lunch, whatever the time frame you call that, workshop is to encourage you to step in to the body of Christ, because we will not become all that God intends us to become unless all of us are using the gifts that God has given us. Something will be missing. If one of us chooses to be a spectator in the background, something will be missing. And so my encouragement to us is, let's explore these things. Let's do the hard work and ask the questions of ourselves. How has God gifted me? But Paul reminds us in chapter 13 that the way of love has to permeate and flavour all those gifts' expressions. They're not self-seeking gifts, but they are done in the fabric and framework of love. There they find their fullest potential and their greatest expression. Over in chapter 14, he also says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. So we're not to just say, it's all about love. Let's just get love right. No, no, no. We are not to then displace the reality of the gifts of the Spirit as well. They are to work together because love is expressed by the way that God wants to show his gifts through his church. Let's not dismiss that. So what are these gifts? How would we describe these gifts? Well, we'd like to call them today to keep the M's going. Ministry, motivational, and today manifestation gifts, or the spirituals. Now, the interesting thing in the original Greek, the word gifts wasn't actually there. We've added that to give us a little bit of context, but the word meaning spiritual gifts there is actually the word spirituals, and that's what Paul is saying. These are from the Spirit given to people to serve God's purpose. They are gifts for the moment where God's power or his Spirit's power is evident or manifested in a moment through a believer or believers that is for the common good of the community. If the Spirit is not present, the gift is not present. And they cut through unbelief. And as I mentioned in previous weeks, I don't believe these particular gifts were restricted to biblical times. In fact, these manifestation gifts are becoming more and more evident. And as I mentioned before, often in places around the world where there is a greater dependence on what God can do. Like if you can't get to a doctor, you pray for healing. That's what happens. And so maybe there's a question for us. Have we become too dependent on our comforts rather than dependent on what God wants to do? They cut through unbelief. There's nothing like a miracle to change the hearts of the spectators and the individuals. We think of the journey up to the temple one day where Peter and John, and there is a lame beggar there, and they, for whatever reason, that particular day, they probably walked past that individual many times, but that particular day, he calls out and he says, "Oh, can someone give me money, give me whatever it is." And that particular day, Holy Spirit says, "Today is the day of a miracle." And you know what Peter says? "Get up and walk." And that day, many people come to know Christ. So it cuts through unbelief because you can't deny it. It's right there. The work of God and the power of God is right there. Now, in the middle of all of this, Paul is also lifting the attention of the Corinthian church to the Spirit's working. They had a long history of trusting in idols, and there was a whole lot of activity in temples in that particular place. And Paul is wanting to say to them, no longer should you listen to the mute idols that you've followed and pursued in the past. No, take hold of Jesus Christ and the work of his Spirit. Their past experience was in some ways deterring them or sabotaging their understanding of who the Spirit of God was and was bringing into their lives as a church community. And I wonder for us too, if our past experiences of these particular gifts or teachings or things that we've heard or experienced can sometimes shape our understanding of this passage rather than the scriptures themselves shaping us. Our theology or beliefs are shaped by our experiences, and then we choose to interpret or affirm our beliefs rather than letting the scriptures shape us and this work of the Spirit in us. There are also a whole lot of differing views of the expressions of these gifts, but let's just remain open again today. What might the Holy Spirit want to teach us about the gifts that he wants to bring through us? Let's not think that we completely understand them, because I always believe understanding the scriptures is a journey of transformation. What we think we know sometimes, we're often 5 years later going, I didn't quite understand that, did I? 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So we understand the purpose. It's the common good. This is the intentions of God, not to bring division or uncertainty or fear, but the common good, the building up of the body of Christ and ultimately building up the expression of his kingdom into a broken world. Now, another little thing that we need to understand here, in the original Greek, the definitive article is not at work here in the statement of the actual gift. Now, what does that mean? There is no "the" before the gift. It's a sort of a lowercase a. What does that mean? It implies that there's no permanency to this gift, but rather it is a gift that is used in the moment and can be used again and again. So what does that mean? A message of wisdom, which is the first one, is for today. I give Wendy a message of wisdom from God. Tomorrow she might need something else. Another word, a different word, a different expression of wisdom that God wants to bring through his Spirit. Today's healing is not tomorrow's healing necessarily. So it's not the, so a person goes, I have that gift and it's mine and I use it. Each day there is a choice to walk in the expression of these gifts, and all of us have that opportunity. So if someone comes up to you and says, I have a particular need, you don't go, sorry, that's not my gift, mate. I'm an hospitality person. And that's great, but the right gift is the gift that's needed in the moment. And I would hope that all of us would go, let me pray for you. Let me support you. Now, there might be a time where the hospitality gift or a giving gift is required, but if the need is before us, the right gift is the best gift. And that's the gift that the Holy Spirit will give in that moment. All right, let's have a look at the first gift, which is a message. You might just have to click through them. Message of wisdom. You even went too far. Is that the first one?
No. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, there you go. A message of wisdom. A spirit-given message of wisdom that brings God's insight to an important moment or specific situation, applying spiritual truth with clarity, timing, and discernment. Now, we get a great example of this in the deacon, Stephen, who was chosen as one of the seven by the apostles to do particular ministry roles and administration roles. And there's this moment where all of these people are arguing with him, and the scriptures capture they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him. Now, ultimately, that cost Stephen his life. But they couldn't argue with him. God was giving him wisdom and understanding for the questions that were coming his way. Words of wisdom given by the Spirit in the moment that just makes sense. Have you ever had that moment where someone comes up to you and says, hey, you know, let me just share something God's put in, and you just go, you're right. This often happens for me. My wife comes up and I go, and I say that with great respect. You're right. I understand. I see it. And often I fight back against it, as a good normal male does. Maybe I haven't got it right. Let me think about that, you know. But ultimately I go, yes, Lord, you're speaking to me through that word of wisdom. It relieves tension, can lift us from discouragement, and it can help us move forward. A word of wisdom helps us move forward in the complexities and the dilemmas of life that we face. The message of knowledge. To declare knowledge that could only be revealed supernaturally by Holy Spirit, understanding of facts otherwise hidden. Now, an example of this is when Jesus is with the Samaritan woman and says, go and get your husband. And she says, oh, and he goes, there's five. And the one you're with is not the current. I have an example of this myself, and I'm sure you have examples, but I happen to have the microphone and we'll share them. I was at a conference called Soul Survivor, which is a teenage conference that happens just after Easter. And I was part of the leadership team from our church. We'd always have about somewhere between 30 and 40 young people go. And I'd often be just available as a leader to pray. And they'd done something where they were talking about studies and the stress that young people carry, and said, well, why don't you, if you want prayer for this, to come forward. And so this young guy was there and I saw him, and I often, this is something I try and do, is I often say, Lord, who would you like me to pray for? And my attention was drawn to this young guy. So I go and stand with him and I had a bit of a chat, and he said, yeah, I'm just really struggling with my studies. I'm really struggling to get focus and I'm learning. I've always got the learner plates on. So I said, do you mind if I put my hand on you? He said, no problem. So I put my hand on him and I say, Lord, what is it that you want me to pray? And immediately the word pornography drops into my head. And I'm going, oh dear. Because if you're wrong about asking someone this, you can destroy that ministry moment. And so I, as you do, go, and I go, okay, Lord, what would you like me to pray for this young boy? And the same word dropped in my head. And I said, look, before I pray, can I just ask you a question? I said, I've just asked the Lord and the Lord's given me this word. Is this a problem for you? And his head dropped. He started to cry. He said, I can't control it. And anyway, we had a great time of prayer. He was an under-18s guy, so I was very sensitive to that situation. Talked to his youth worker or youth pastor and encouraged him to share and get some help in that. Now, I don't know what happened with that. I really don't. I didn't know that kid at all. But in that moment, for whatever reason, God gave him, and it doesn't happen for me that often, but it was just as clear as a bell. And the courage is, as we've said before with our gifts, is we can't be responsible for the reception of it. We can only be responsible for the giving of it. It's like a gift that you give to someone, and that kid could have went, what are you talking about? Get lost. But he chose to open it, and my prayer for him was that he would find healing and transformation through it. That's an example of message of knowledge. Gifts of faith. An extraordinary, unwavering trust in God against all circumstances, particularly in times of intense adversity or crisis. Extraordinary confidence that God will act. Now, one person and I'm going to encourage him as I was preparing this because I just really saw that gift in him, was Mark Soper. Now, Mark has this incredible faith about this property. And I was talking with him just the other day, and there's a lot of things that aren't happening progressive-wise in it. Difficulty with council and that. And Mark's just going, it's going to happen. God's going to do this thing because God's got plans for this community. And it's the first time as I was preparing this that I recognised that God has given him a gift of faith to believe for something that is not here. It's not here. There's plans for it. But right now, this building's on here and your cars are parked out there. So he's been given something that God has placed in his heart to believe for something that is ahead. Could be 3 years away. The gift of faith. Gifts of healing. The Spirit's power at work to restore physical, emotional, or spiritual wholeness. The restoration of the body or mind. Great example again was the Peter and John healing the lame beggar. But a more recent example, at my old church, when we first got there at Padstow back in the early 2000s, the senior pastor was named Graham Hoare and his wife Robin. And Robin just had a real discernment around things that God was doing in the service. And she wandered down the back at one of these services and there was a guy there who had suffered with asthma for a long time, being diagnosed, had x-rays where the restrictions in his lungs were very clearly shown on the x-rays. And she felt this day that she should just put her hand on him and pray for him. And something happened that day, a gift of healing, I believe. He felt something and she just said, well, look, go back. And he went back and had x-rays, clear evidence of his lungs just being completely healed. And we were... You don't know what to do with that. We like talking about healing, but when we see it, we freak out. And it was just an incredible example of the way that there was no bells and whistles. There was no something down the front. It was just someone at the back wandering up to someone and saying, hey, can I pray for you? And I'm sure you have your own examples of that. We've got many examples of our times in India where God just does incredible things and we just are astounded. Gifts of miraculous powers. This describes when the Holy Spirit chooses to override the laws of nature, working in or through an available person, which is both beneficial to the recipient and signs to others of God's power. Now, we see this throughout the book of Acts, people being raised from the dead, incredible moments of God's power at work. You may have your own examples. I sometimes hear secondhand experiences. They generally come from places like Africa and India, where incredible things happen. They're hard to verify. You know what I mean? Like, they're just hard to verify. But the people who are involved in them will proclaim God's power at work. And again, it's determined by what the Spirit is doing in a particular situation. The gift of prophecy. Now, interesting, the gift of prophecy has turned up every week, hasn't it? And even Paul says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Now, why would this be? The telling forth of God's message in a particular situation, always in accord with the scriptures of God and God's current work. Spirit-prompted messages that strengthen and encourage and comfort. Now, who needs to be strengthened, encouraged and comforted? I think all of us have times where we need that, right? And so this gift is a key one, and it seems to turn up in all of the gifts, because there's something about the proclamation of God's word and his message into our life that brings life and transformation. And I know myself, and I shared with you the very first week, I know that those words that Barry Chant spoke over me 30-something years ago about, you will hear a voice, whether you turn to your right or left, this is the way, walk in it. Those words, even though they're scriptural, the moment he spoke them into me, they have sat with me up until even recently to be here at Sea Change. And there's something about a word given, again, through a courier, right? Through a courier, someone who says, I'm bringing God's word to you. You need to open it. You need to wrestle with it. You need to pray about it. We know that we need to test. The Bible says that very clearly about prophetic words. But when God has spoken them and then they land in our heart, it's transformational. And so if that's an area that you've found yourself, you know, wandering into every now and again, I encourage you, fan into flame that gift. Because it's a gift the Bible says is really important for the church and the growth of the church. Great example in Acts 21 is Agabus comes down and speaks to Paul and ties his hands and feet, and he says, the Holy Spirit says, and I love that because it's a reminder that this gift comes from the Spirit. In the way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. One thing about prophecy, whether it's true or not, is whether it comes true. And it did. It did for Paul, because that's where he ended up in Rome. Distinguishing between spirits. The ability to tell the difference between true and false doctrine and between what is of the Holy Spirit and what isn't. It's a gift to identify counterfeit power. Now, we have a great example in the book of Acts where Paul and Silas are in Philippi going along, and there's this young slave girl walking behind them, and she's calling out, everyone, you should listen to these people, which sounds good, doesn't it? You should listen to these guys. They've got something to tell you. And Paul discerns after a few days, hey, this is not Holy Spirit. This is something else. And he turns around and speaks to that spirit, and this young girl is healed. It ends up causing problems for them. But the gift was certainly at work in Paul through that moment. And I think this is a gift that we need to be attentive to. I think there's a challenge sometimes in church life where we can feel like we just, it sounds right, we'll just go ahead. But sometimes this gift says, this is good, but it's not the best. This is okay, but God's got something better. And so this gift often can turn up in moments where important decisions are being made. You guys have been through some important decisions in recent months. And so it's a, God, is there something we need to discern here? Is there something we're not aware of? Because we don't want to walk in the counterfeit. We want to walk in the fullness of your blessing and your intention for us as a church. The gift of tongues. It's a personal language of prayer given by God, whereby the believer can communicate with God beyond the limits of knowledge and understanding. Many examples through the book of Acts where this gift is released at Pentecost, later at Cornelius's house, and later on in a couple of different other places as well. And it's An interesting gift. It's probably one of the gifts out of this group that's had the most uncertainty about it. And I would love to go into detail more about it, but we will do that at another time. But what I'd like to say is that I believe this is a gift that it's in this list for a reason. It's here to build up the common good. Now, we know in its corporate expression, it aligns itself with the interpretation gift, right? Because Paul will go on in great detail in 1 Corinthians 14 about when this gift is used outside of interpretation, it doesn't have benefit for the body of Christ. It's a personal gift that builds the individual up. But when it is used in a corporate setting, it has to be aligned with the interpretation gift for the benefit of the building up of Christ. Why? Because the gifts are for the common good. So we need to keep that in mind. But I believe it is a gift that God gives us that helps us in our prayer life. It also helps us understand and attune ourselves to the things that God wants to speak into our life. And I'd like to go into that at another time in greater detail. You could ask that question in the Gifts Insights, and I'll get Wendy to answer it. Our last one, interpretation of tongues. Again, an important gift that works alongside the gift of tongues. The gift to understand and translate the message of tongues into the common language so the church can be edified, rendering the meaning so the church understands. And prophetic words can come through this means as well. So we want to be attentive to that. Again, 1 Corinthians 14, a really good place to understand a little bit more about how these two gifts should work together. The gifts are for building up the body of Christ, the church, but also for demonstrating the grace of God and the power of God. Now, I believe these gifts, like the other gifts we've mentioned, aren't just for us as a community. They are also to speak of God's grace into the world in which we live as well. The way that these gifts are expressed, the way that these gifts are used, are to bring people into an understanding of how good God is and his grace is towards them. Now, I know as well, as we look at a group of gifts like this, and I let out with the fact that there's not a permanency in the sense that you have that gift, but we can find ourselves using a particular gift more often. And I don't want to discount that. So some of us might say, well, I find myself praying for people sometimes and healing happens. I affirm that and encourage that gift, because what that is saying is that God is using you and there is a discernment happening in you where that gift can be expressed more often. Just like the person with the prophetic gift, we want to encourage them to use and express that gift more often. So let's not be unawares that sometimes God might use us in particular situations to use a gift in repetition, because we do become more mature and understanding. I know myself, I've had, going back to Soul Survivor, I had a young man pray for me one time, and I was standing there and God was just ministering to me in his love, and this young kid came up to me and he just started a deliverance ministry thing over me. And I'm going, Lord, should I tell him that you are not doing this right now? And this young boy was all full of excitement. I think he'd been to one of the workshops about using the gift, so he was just going for it. And he prayed and then he walked away, and I said, Lord, help him. Help him to grow, because he wants to learn. And so for some of us, when we start out, it feels like we're with learner plates on. But I would like to suggest, in fact, we wear learner plates for a long time. We're always learning. But we need to start somewhere. So our attempts sometimes in a situation where someone has a healing need and we pray for them, sometimes we might fumble around and feel like, why? What did I even say? I remember praying for the first time for a young man at Black Stump. His name was Greg. I called him George. And I remember just going, he goes, my name is, I haven't forgotten. His name's Greg, yeah. I said, George, da-da-da. He goes, my name's Greg. I went, okay. And then I prayed for him, and then I called him the same name again. And I remember sitting down with someone and I said, I shouldn't be allowed to pray for anyone. And he said, it's okay. We're all learning. And we're all learning. We don't always get it right, but it's the faith in us that we want to see grow. And the faith in us will grow and express itself, and so will the way in which we present the gift. Those with the gift of hospitality. I'm sure when you first started cooking, you know what I mean? Like your first attempts aren't what you present now. Like last week or the week before when I talked about my first talk, that tunnel was way shorter than what it should have been. And the talk was meant to go for 10 minutes and went for 5. So I want to encourage us to take a step of faith. The gift needed is the right gift for the situation. And it's what God wants to do in and through us. And I always think there's a question at the end of such a series is, do we believe God wants to do what the scriptures say that he has done in the past? Like that's where I land at the end of this series is, God, do you still want to do these things? Are these gifts really still available to your church? Are your intentions still to build up the body of Christ? Is your intention still for the common good? I believe it is. It has to be. Or we start reading scripture, as mentioned earlier, in the ways that suit us versus the shaping of our lives and our faith by what the scriptures say. And I've been here couple of months, the conversations I have, I sense that there's a heart and a hunger for people in this church to want to live out of what the scriptures say. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Why don't we stand for a moment? I was wondering how to finish today, and I thought you can't talk about all this stuff without then giving opportunity for these gifts to be expressed. And I thought, Lord, what is the best way for that to happen? And the simplest way often for these gifts to be expressed is firstly an openness in our hearts, but also a receptivity to what is it that I need at the moment? You know, what's going on in my life? Do I need a word of wisdom? Is there a healing need that I have in my life at the moment? Is there a dilemma that I'm trying to face that I think, actually, I just need a word of knowledge. I need God to give a word that will cut through to get to the heart of this issue or a relationship that has a dilemma at the moment. And I thought we'd just stand for a moment in the presence of God. And what I would like to do, if you think, actually, I need a word today, and there's going to be probably three different groups here. There's going to be the people who have a need. There's going to be those that feel that sense of God calling them to go and pray. And then there's the rest of us that might just go, I just want to affirm what's happening. I'm not necessarily feeling like I need to participate right now, but I just want to affirm. So let's just take a moment. Father, we stand here in your presence and we admit, Lord, our knowledge and understanding of such things is so limited. And yet there is something in our hearts today as we read these scriptures. Your Spirit is lifting our hearts and our minds and our attention to what you would want to do. Lord, we believe you're a God that isn't distant, but you are here with us in this very moment. And you're not a God whose powers are shackled. But Lord, you are all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty. And we want to receive what you want to deposit into our hearts today and into our lives, into the situations that we're maybe struggling with or wrestling with. God, we need your spiritual gifts.